help us to commence this evening with hymn 1028. Come hither, ye by sin distressed, and hear the Saviour's faithful word. Soon ye shall enter into rest and know that he's your conquering Lord. 1028.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look in diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burn with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord, would it please thee to come graciously, favour us, Lord, with thy salvation here this evening. Send thy Spirit down to lead us in thy truth, to guide us into all truth. Thy Spirit, Lord, to quicken the dead, to convince of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, to lead to Christ, to inspire that living faith in him, to wash us from our sins, which are many, countless. Oh, we do pray to be brought to the fountain, that it might be opened unto us for sin and for uncleanness. Lord, that all our guilt might be put away. From the guilty conscience it may be removed. And Lord, that grace may abound, superabound over all the abounding of sin in us. Lord, that we might be delivered from our deceitful wickedness, our unbelief, our hypocrisy, our empty words. Lord, our hardness of heart, our self-righteousness, our pride, our lust, our idolatry, our enmity, Lord, our every sin. O Lord, that we might be made new creatures in Christ. O Lord, we pray, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. The spirit of our mind renew and save us in thy Son, Lord, bless this people. We plead for their precious souls, according to thy holy will. Lord, save thy people. Thou didst say, Lord Jesus, and surely this is thy example to thy people. I pray not for the world, but for them which thy Father had given thee out of the world. O Lord, we pray for thy people. Thou knowest who they are. Lord, we know not. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. O Lord, we pray for that grace. We might name the name of the Lord in faith. Not take thy name in vain. And in taking it in faith, Lord, we might thus depart from iniquity by that same faith, by that gracious effect of thy name upon us. Lord, may thy name this evening be as ointment poured forth into the wounded conscience, into the troubled heart. O Lord, thou knowest where there are those that have brought wounds into thy house, festering sores of sin. Lord, those who come in feeling from the sole of the feet to the crown of the head, they are nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. O heal us, Emmanuel. Here we are waiting to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls to thee repair. Saviour, we are such. O give that faith that is give those afflicted people of old. They brought to thee at evening all manner of people with all manner of diseases. And thou didst heal them all. Oh, give us faith to believe it, Lord. That wondrous faith that is give those people and it took off the tiles of the roof and let down their friend on that stretcher. Oh, Lord. Oh, we pray for that diligence. Lord, the soul of the sluggard, thou said, desireth and hath nothing. For the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Lord, save us from our sluggardly seeking. Like the spouse in thy word on her bed. Lord, thou didst get her up off her bed. Oh, do the same for us, we pray. Lord, come. Some of us hope we have known it. But Lord, we need it again. We get no better above other worse. No past experience, Lord, will do now. Lord, have mercy. Lord, save or we perish. Lord, we seek for this people, then thy rich blessing. Lord, thy spirit upon them. Lord, blessing upon the word in their assemblies and in their private lives. Lord, that they may know the favour of the closet, that communion with thee in secret. In thy time, that reward openly. Lord, that they may know thee as their saviour. Their God, their Redeemer, their Father, their Elder Brother, their Comforter, their all. O Lord, we pray then, may this be a manifestly purchased people, redeemed out of the hand of the enemy, those of whom thou didst say, I found a ransom. Lord, bought with a price. that it say, be ye not the servants of men. O Lord, make this people thy servants, to serve thee in newness of spirit. Lord, in godly fear, in faith, in love, walking in thy commands by thy own constraining and enabling. O Lord, we ask, bless the young. Lord, have mercy on our children and young people. Oh, do so work powerfully in their hearts. The things of God shall be foremost, the priority, the one thing needful. Lord, that they may be taught by thee to ask for and obtain thy mercy in their providences and in their souls. They be safe for time and for eternity, provided for according to thy will for time and for eternity. Raised up, Lord, as thee to serve thee. Oh, we ask the outpouring of thy Spirit on the rising generation. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the declension, the decline that has taken place. The generations, oh Lord, from the spiritual prosperity that is given in this land, and Lord, if it is thy will, that able to revive again. What numerous examples there are in thy word, but Lord, wilt thou do it for us? O Lord, do grant us, we pray, that spirit of prayer. If thou givest the spirit of prayer, surely thou wilt do it for us. Thou dost never give a spirit of prayer to disappoint that people. Lord, then we plead, O may in secret Zion travail, O may there be that army terrible as banners, thy word speaks of. Lord, poor sinners on their knees, the throne of grace, on their knees spiritually we mean. O Lord, do grant it. Lord, we seek that thy work may appear. Lord, in our own hearts, Lord, what a mighty work is needed there. Lord, we have mighty enemies, and the greatest of these is self. Too mighty for ourself, Lord, but not too mighty for thee, for thou art almighty. And Lord, we are completely and utterly undeserving, but thou dost save such. Lord, we plead, do appear then, and let thy work appear. And in the churches, Lord, in the congregations, Lord, the gospel may by the Holy Spirit be the power of God unto salvation, that sinners might be brought into thy house and blessed in thy house. The Son of Man might be exalted, extolled. And poor dying sinners look and live. Lord, the shepherd's voice might be heard by the flock, in such a way as they shall follow thee. Lord, what a turnround. Lord, what fools we are. We have to confess, as the psalmist did, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. We pray for help, grace and wisdom to parents. Lord, oh, what need there is. Lord, we do pray for help. We ask the forgiveness of our failings as parents. Lord, we beg thy mercy. Leave us not to be a stumbling block to any. Lord, have compassion. And Lord, we commend to thee the afflicted, the infirm, the weak. Be very gracious to them. Grant thy healing mercy where it pleases thee. Thy submission, Lord, where the affliction must remain. The sanctifying. Oh, Lord, we beg. Oh, do grant to thy people the blessing that Hezekiah had. By these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. Oh, Lord, help those that feel such a peculiar person, such a peculiar case, none like them. Lord, thou art able to have compassion on the ignorant, and on those that are out of the way. Lord, help, we beseech thee. We seek thy upholding of those that are in deep waters, fiery furnaces. Lord, let it accomplish thy purpose. I'll turn my hand upon you and purely purge away all thy dross and all thy tin, and I'll restore thy judges as at the first, thy counsellors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness. Oh, let there be that nevertheless afterwards, a never-ending eternity, that nevertheless afterwards. Lord, bless us with true thankfulness. It is of thy mercy we are not consumed. Thy watchful care over us in our going out and coming in. The daily provision, thy patient forbearance, thy help thus far. Above all, Lord, we thank thee for thy gospel. Thy dear Son, the only plea of a poor sinner taught by thy Spirit. Lord, for thy word, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, we would thank thee, Lord, that thou didst require everything of thy Son, and that thou, Lord, didst decline no load, didst not turn back, but didst go to the end of the Lord, didst endure that cross, for the joy that was set before thee. Oh, confirm thy people in their most holy faith. Assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood. And bear thy witness, blessed Spirit, that I am born of God. Help the deacons of this church. Give them wisdom, Lord. Use them in thy work. Direct them to do thy will. Bind together the church closer and closer. Lord, work mightily in sinners' hearts. There might be godly additions to the church, believers added to the church. And have mercy on this land of ours, and we a guilty part of it. Lord, in wrath remember mercy. Oh, restrain the evil, Lord. Oh, day by day, what solemn events take place. Lord, the wickedness at every level of our society, because we are all sinners. And Lord, who knoweth the end of sin when it is not restrained by thee? The wages of sin is death. Oh, we plead, spare, we beseech thee. Yet have mercy. Yet overrule those in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in godliness and honesty. Lord, we pray for thy mercy. Thou seest the need, Lord. Thou hast granted that rain. And in such abundance, Lord. Lord, we would seek if it would please thee for that dry weather that is needed for the ripening of the crops and to permit the harvest of them. Lord, thou wouldst be just if the harvest was made a heap in the field. But oh, if it would please thee, we would ask. Lord, grant this favour, if it is thy will. Pardon what once spoken wrongly. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 571. Behold with wondering eyes the servant of the Lord. On wings of love he flies, his counsels to unfold. He comes with truth and grace, and Zion shall behold his face. 571.
Thank you.
dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you to the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 12, reading verses 11 to 13. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 11 to 13. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. I may be mistaken, but I have it in the back of my mind that I have preached from this word or a similar one here not all that long ago. If that is so, the Lord alone knows the purpose. Why, I may have to venture with it again. Perhaps there is that here in someone's case or more than one's case. And still there is this to be accomplished, but let it rather be healed. Chastening is certainly something which the Lord's people have need of again and again, and therefore healing is something that they have need of again and again. Why is there such need of such chastisement? Why? Because we are such repetitive sinners. But there's no chastening by God in the way the text speaks of, but of his own sons and daughters. Earlier in the chapter, Paul wrote by the Spirit, "You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." 'Tis then a mark of sonship. But you see, no one of the Lord's people will be left to take chastisement itself as comfort to their soul, as the text speaks of it. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. It must be so. It is meant to hurt. If it does not hurt, if it is not a grievous thing, it is not really chastening, is it? Oh, it is meant to show the Lord's indignation with our sin. It is meant to be painful. It is meant to bring us to the place the Lord appoints. It is meant to bring us as a grieved sinner to him who alone can heal the griefs of poor sinners. It is meant to bring us to this place that Paul later writes of in this chapter, to Mount Zion, to Jesus, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Oh, if it seemed joyous, we should stop there, shouldn't we? No, the joy is afterward. "Ye now therefore have sorrow," said the Lord Jesus, "but I'll see you again. Your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." How does the Lord chasten? No two cases are exactly alike, because no two people are exactly alike. It is so with natural children, isn't it? Those of you that have been given children by God, if you've been given more than one, you know that each need a particular type of chastening. Some children, naturally speaking, are so naturally tender that a parent may only have to look at them in a certain way and they, as it were, crumple before the parent. Another, oh, it takes much more than that. But oh, how necessary the grace to be given us as parents in this, that it be done in love, not in anger. Paul speaks of the natural father, and he says, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. How much more shall we rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. You see, a natural father can't teach for the soul's profit, can't chasten for the soul's profit. There may be some natural profit. That's the Lord's purpose in the natural chastisement that he commands the father and the mother to administer. But the profit that the text speaks of is eternal profit. That we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. It may be affliction upon your body. It may be affliction in your circumstances. It may be the Lord suffering an enemy to rise up against you. Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? It may be, and it often is, the hiding of his face. It may be, and it often is, the withholding of his gracious favours, the withholding of his Holy Spirit, his chastisement, sore chastisement. Oh, my dear friend, what a solemn thing it is. If you have known truly what the blessed communion of the Holy Spirit is, or the sacred prompting of the Spirit is in prayer, or the sacred work of the Spirit is in revealing Christ, in applying words to your heart and conscience, in shedding abroad the love of Christ in your heart, you'll feel it to be a chastisement. The Lord will make it to be a chastisement. And he'll bring each one of his people to the acknowledging of why it is. The Lord's arm is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Your sins have separated between you and your God and have hid his face from you. Oh, for an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The church of the Laodiceans lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. Or would thou work cold or hot, because thou art lukewarm, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods, and knowest not that thou art poor and blind and wretched and miserable. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Thou mayest be rich and white raiment, thou mayest be clothed. The shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with thyself that thou mayest see. Now no chastening for the present. I believe we may say this of every form of chastisement that the Lord uses, that he knows the spot to touch. How often it is in the very spot where the sin has been, the chastisement touches. Oh, if we have been too immersed in the things of this world, perhaps he will lay affliction on us, prevent us by that chastisement, stop us from doing that in which we were too immersed in the things of this world. Oh, if our affections were taken up by some object other than God himself, perhaps he will either completely remove that thing, or so bring something about so that the thing is completely spoiled. I believe years ago the Lord's late servant, Mr. William Hope, used to stand in this pulpit and preach the word of God. Well, you know, I believe it was his first wife. The Lord gave him that wife, but he was too taken up with her, to the impoverishment of his soul, and a godly woman could see it. And she said to him, "Mr. Hope, if you carry on like you're going, the Lord will stop you. He has a way of curing us of idolatry." And she proved to be a faithful messenger of the Lord to him, for the Lord took that wife of his. He laid her body in the grave. That's where his idol was laid by God. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. But oh, what a mercy the soul is saved in it. What a mercy the person is directed, corrected by Almighty God in it. Oh, we need the faith to see this, do we not? How often a poor sinner under the chastening hand of God, and everything seems so difficult in their pathway, so trying. Everything seems to be turned upside down, trouble after trouble. Like Asaph, they look on the wicked, they're not in trouble. Envious of the foolish, when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. But Asaph, he was corrected, wasn't he? "Till I went into the sanctuary, then understood I their end. Surely thou set them in slippery places." But Asaph's feet were not set by God in a slippery place. No. On that sure foundation stone. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless afterward. The Lord's nevertheless. Oh, and perhaps your chastening, child of God, this evening, in your life, you cannot see how it can possibly turn out good in the end. You cannot see how possibly this situation you're in can be remedied. Your present condition, your distress, your grief, your wounding. You cannot see how you could possibly say, "Well, this is for good." Well, here is the Lord's nevertheless. It's not your nevertheless. It's not my nevertheless. It's God's nevertheless. It means this: nothing is going to alter the Lord's purpose. Nothing is going to prevent this latter half of this verse being fulfilled, nevertheless, afterward, when afterward, the Lord's afterward, not your afterward, nor mine afterward, our time is always ready. How often a child of God has to go for a long time before they reach the afterward. The mercy of the Lord is patient, isn't it? We're not of ourselves. No. So much my master seemed to blame, says John Berridge, I thought to leave his school. But now, eyes open, I see myself a fool. The Lord is long-suffering to his people. He is patient, his forbearance. The husbandman, and he is the husbandman. My father is the husbandman. He has long patience. Nevertheless, afterward. But then, oh, what is it? What is it if it be so many years? When the afterward is a never-ending eternity. Nevertheless, afterward. Well, it will be when the Lord has accomplished his purpose in the chastening. It will be when that work of grace in that particular stage and part of a Christian's experience in that matter is accomplished. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth. Oh, the wonder of this. It yieldeth. Where is this wonderful fruit brought forth from? It is brought forth from Christ. It certainly isn't brought forth from us. No. Because the nevertheless afterward and the fruit that is yielded is the peaceable fruit of righteousness. My dear friend, the Lord's purpose in chastening, it cannot be that some peaceable fruit of righteousness come out of our poor barren hearts. No. His purpose in the chastening is to bring us to Christ. In the way we hope to speak in a moment. And that peaceable fruit of righteousness might be brought forth in our hearts by Christ, being formed in our heart the hope of glory. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. One of the things the Lord has to chasten for is our thought. That gracious things will grow out of ourselves. The thought that gracious things can spring from this poor self. They cannot. Oh, this is, I might speak of it as his one great purpose in chastening, to bring the sinner to Christ. My dear friend, those of you that wonder this evening, well, why is it the Lord's hand is still upon me? Well, have you been brought to Christ? Brought to him in the way Paul goes on to speak in this chapter to the Hebrews, ye are come under Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than Abel. If you say no, well, don't be surprised then, that his chastening is still upon you. He's not like a natural parent that might tire of chastening and give up. How can God give up chastening one of his sons and daughters? He'll perfect that which concerneth them. And the psalmist prayed, didn't he? Forsake not the work of thy hands. And I think of that woman that said, Lord, cease not to reprove me. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Before I speak of this peaceable fruit of righteousness a little more, I feel I must speak of this exercise thereby. They that are exercised thereby. Oh, my dear friend, what a thing is needed. Nothing less than the power of God to exercise us. It's grace. This is the exercise thereby. See it in Hezekiah, he turned his face toward the wall. Are you exercised thereby in that way? He turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto his God. That's the exercise. Oh, and how he pours out his heart before his God. He says, like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. Mine eyes fell with looking upward. Oh, Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Well, what exercise thereby has there been under this chastening? Oh, we try this and we try that to get from under the chastening. What a mercy. The Lord does not spare for our crying. He does not suffer us to get from under his hand. Exercise thereby. Oh, to be brought to God in prayer. To be brought to a confession of our sin. Now, by that, let me try and speak like this. Oh, you see, when I speak of confession of sin, it will be only as the Lord convinces us of it. And your confession of sin may be, Lord, oh, I do not feel broken on account of my sin as I ought. Exercise thereby. Why, listen to one man who has exercised thereby. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Exercise thereby. You see, this exercise, it is completely different from natural exercise. It is spiritual exercise. Natural exercise centers within oneself. Spiritual exercise centers in God, in Christ. If you're exercised thereby, you'll be brought as a lost sinner to the Lord, begging for him to save you. And that includes begging for him to save you from the hardness of your heart, begging for him to kindly and mercifully give you godly sorrow and repentance for your sin. To them which are exercised thereby. You see, the Lord in the chastening, he brings the sinner to self-examination. This sometimes takes a long time. We may go on and be oblivious as to why this chastening is upon us. But the Lord won't leave us oblivious to it. It brings us to the realization of his purpose in it, the exercise thereby. Think of Micah. He said, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I've sinned against him until he plead my cause. He will bring me forth to the light and I shall behold his face in righteousness. Sometimes you know this chastening, it involves other people in your life. Maybe somebody in your immediate family. It may be somebody outside your immediate family. It may be somebody in the church of God. To begin with, under the chastening, all we can see is their faults. The trouble is their fault, we say. This difficulty is all because of them. But my dear friend, the Lord will turn things completely round. Poor angry bosom, hush, nor discontented grow, but at thy own sad folly blush, which breedeth all the woe. To them which are exercised thereby. My mind also goes to James Bourne, perhaps another example. He felt it to be a chastisement when people falsely accused him, but he was exercised thereby. He was given that grace to fall before it. He said, though those people have falsely accused me about that, there's worse sins that they don't know about, but God knows about. Exercise thereby. Oh, what a blessing it is to be brought as a confessing sinner to God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you see, there's so much about our walk that is wrong. Oh, the solemn day in which we live. We only have to look back in the records and see in the memoirs, the obituaries and so on, how the people of God lived. Do you sometimes wonder whether if it were possible for them to visit the earth today, they would own you as a Christian? No, the Lord isn't going to let that go on. If he does let it go on, my dear friend, what evidence do we have that we are sons and daughters? He will wash his people's feet. I thought of that occasion when the Lord Jesus took the form of the lowest servant in the house. And took a towel and girded himself and a basin of water and began to wash the disciples' feet. Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. Listen to this, sinner. Is the word of God to each of us here this evening. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. As one man said, if we are going to heaven, we and our sins have got to part. And there's only one way we and our sins can part. And that is by the work of God. That is by the Lord, by the precious blood of his Son, cleansing us from our sin, and by the sacred operation of his Holy Spirit, revealing Christ, forming Christ in our heart, giving us the Spirit of Christ, so that grace abounds where sin formerly abounded. And the way the Lord has of doing that is bringing a poor undone sinner to the feet of the Lord. My dear friend, those of you that are church members here, When did you last have your feet washed by the Lord? When were you last brought as a guilty sinner to the Lord's feet? When did you last have an application of the precious blood of Jesus Christ to your conscience? When, by some communication from his blessed lips, was your walk corrected so that he led you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake? This exercise then thereby, this is it. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. The lifting up of the hands speaks of calling upon God. And it's always at the Lord's bidding. The Lord calls his people to his feet. This one here tonight, your sins are as scarlet and as crimson. What does he say? Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Lift up the hands which hang down. The hands which hang down, no prayer. No begging of God for healing. No begging of God for deliverance. Oh, that solemn condition we read of in the prophecy of Jeremiah. I believe it's the 18th chapter. I was looking at it earlier. Where the Lord took Jeremiah to the potter's house and showed him that vessel marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel. O Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. You see, he goes on and says, they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Now that's the hands hanging down. There is no hope. Where did they get that from? There is no hope. They did not get that from God, did they? Why? His word speaks of salvation unto the uttermost. His word speaks of deliverance from the deepest depths. It speaks of pardon of the vilest sins. It speaks of recovery from the furthest backslidings. Lift up the hands which hang down. You see, our hands may hang down, saying, well, we cannot help it. We're just poor sinners. We might also let our hands hang down. Oh, it's a day of small things. Oh, it's a solemn day. The Spirit is withholden and the hands hang down. But the Lord, he won't let his people's hands always hang down. He pours upon them the Spirit of grace and of supplication. Lift up. Oh, my dear friend, if you've ever had this from God, you'll know what I mean. When the Lord says, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. When he says, I'll yet be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. When he conveys to that poor sinner, it's not true that there is no hope. There is hope in thine end, said the Lord to Israel and Judah, that thy children shall come again from their own border. Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body, shall they arise, awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. Lift up the hands which hang down. Oh, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. There's no case too far gone. There's no sins that he cannot pardon. There's no heart that he cannot soften. Oh, there's no dreadful condition that you're convinced of in this being exercised. There's no dreadful condition he cannot deliver you from. Though the case is impossible with you, though it's impossible with men, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And oh, though your sins deserve hell, though you are the blackest, vilest sinner that ever walked this earth in your soul's feelings, the Lord who says, lift up the hands which hang down, he is merciful and gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy. He says, only acknowledge thine iniquity. Oh, what a lifting up of the hands when a sinner is enabled to, in supplication and in acknowledgement of their iniquity, call upon God. And the feeble knees. Oh, when the sinner feels that they cannot go on any longer. Oh, I must give up all hope of ever being saved. Can't go on any longer in this way. That's the feeble knees. Oh, how often the adversary takes advantage in the case of a poor child of God that's under the Lord's chastening. The adversary paints it as being nothing but the Lord's eternal vengeance begun. And so as you sung just now, Satan tempts that sinner to give up and call no more on Jesus' name. And it may be in a particular path. Oh, what feeble knees. Poor Elijah had. Even though he had just seen the Lord's wondrous intervention on that mount, where the Lord had so clearly shown the prophets of Baal to be idolaters, that their god Baal was nothing but a figment of people's imagination, and showed his almighty power, yet when Jezebel says, I will take that man's head from off him, he flees and wishes for himself that he should die. The feeble knees, I can't go on any longer. How often a child of God feels like this? Maybe there's a church member and you're ready to go to the deacon and say, you must take my name off the book. One of the Lord's servants, I can't go on preaching any longer. A pastor, oh, I must resign. The feeble knees. And what is it in each case more than anything else? Is a sight of what they are under the Lord's chastening hand. The feeble knees. Lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Oh, now what can strengthen those knees? The bruised reed, he says, he'll not break. The smoking flax he'll not quench. He'll bring forth judgment unto truth. What puts strength into these knees? It's the Lord's word, isn't it? It's the Lord himself. The Lord, the strength of his people. You know, oh, in one sense it is good for us when we have feeble knees that we don't feel we can go on any longer. For if the Lord then comes and strengthens us, we're not going in our own strength, are we? And you know that's always how it is in going in a right way. It's always the knees made feeble and the hands hung down. It's when a sinner is brought to the end of all their own prayers and all their own walking Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. And the feeble knees are made straight paths for your feet. Oh, what are these straight paths? Why doesn't Paul begin the chapter with it? The race that is set before thee, running with patience, looking unto Jesus. That's the straight path. It's straight. Oh, because it's the right way. It's straight because it's the way of holiness. It's straight because it's God's way. It's the way he says he'll lead them forth by the right way. Make straight paths. Oh, there's no crooked excuses of a poor sinner. There's no crooked bringing of one's own works and merits, supposedly. Oh, there's no bringing of this and that unto the Lord to find acceptance because of this that the sinner brings. The straight path is nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. James Bourne speaks of the shortcut to Christ. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, my dear friend, you say, oh, how many times we hear that text quoted. I'm not talking about quoting the text, my dear friend. I'm talking about walking in the path. Make straight paths for your feet. Not having God be merciful to me, a sinner, on your lips, but having God be merciful to me, a sinner, in your heart, and going unto the Lord by living faith, begging that prayer. What a straight path it is. It leads to eternal bliss. It leads to the blessing. It leads to the yielding of this peaceable fruit of righteousness. Make straight paths for your feet. Now you see, this is the purpose of the Lord's chastening, to correct his people. They were going in crooked paths. Every other way but this path is a crooked path. They were neglecting the throne of grace. They were neglecting the prayerful reading of the Word of God. They were neglecting the exercised hearing of the preaching of the gospel. They were neglecting the throne of grace. They were neglecting to confess their sin. They were neglecting to look unto the Lord. They were neglecting to wait upon him for an answer. Or they may have still been going through the ordinance of the outward appearance of prayer, but they weren't watching for answers. If you've got a real prayer put by the Spirit in your heart, you'll walk that straight path of that prayer till you get to the answer. I will not let thee go, says Jacob, except thou bless me. No chastening. Ah, as the Lord by his chastening brought you into the place where Jacob was, and he was left alone. The man wrestled with him to the breaking of the day. Let me go, for the day breaketh. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. What a healing. What a healing. Oh, Jacob's soul was healed. He saw Christ. I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And what a healing. Esau can't lift a finger against Jacob when those two meet. He might bring 400 men with him, but God is with Jacob. And the blessing of God is in Jacob's heart. As a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And he's the same God today. He still meets sinners like he met Jacob. He still blesses sinners like he blessed Jacob. I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Let everything that is lame be healed. You say, well, I'm completely lame. I'm a Mephibosheth, lame on both feet. Well, listen to what David said, he shall eat bread at my table continually. All that lameness was hidden under the table. That's the healing of your lameness, sinner. If you feed at God's table, if you feed upon the flesh and blood of Emmanuel, all your lameness is hidden. Oh, there's no hardness of heart then. There's no dominant power of unbelief then. He that eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood shall live forever. Oh, there's a running in the way of his commandments then. Because the running is not with poor Mephibosheth's lame feet. It's not with your poor lame flesh. It's not with your poor lame self. It's Christ. Oh, doesn't Berridge speak of the law? Does not give a poor sinner the legs to run nor the wings to fly, but the gospel does. Yes. Let it rather be healed. My dear friend, you can't bring too sick a case to the Lord. You can't bring too hopeless, naturally hopeless a case. Read of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. He considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, and that's the Lord's purpose in his chastisement. It yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Oh, it is a peaceable fruit. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. That righteousness which he wrought out in his finished work. Oh, my dear friend. That holy work, that infinite work of Emmanuel. The mediator between God and men, the Lord is people's righteousness. Oh, no spot, no wrinkle. I ever do those things which please my Father. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The righteousness of the fulfilling of that law on behalf of his people. The righteousness of fulfilling it in the suffering, even unto death. The righteousness of him going to Gethsemane, to Gabbatha, to Golgotha. The righteousness as he is smitten by the sword of divine justice. And that sword of divine justice finds satisfaction in smiting the holy, harmless God-man Christ Jesus. Oh, the virtue, the efficacy of that work of his, both in his life and in his death. The peaceable fruit of righteousness. Oh, it yieldeth that fruit. When a poor sinner goes as a poor, barren, guilty, wretched, undone sinner, and looks by living faith to Emmanuel, and the Spirit reveals him and applies to his heart and conscience, speaks into his heart and conscience, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ applies to their heart the virtue of his sin-atoning death. The fruit, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. There's no other peaceable fruit. You know the peace which Jesus spake of, my peace I give unto you, is inseparable with his righteousness. There's no peace without righteousness. dear friend, it's because of your unrighteousness that is chastening hands upon you. And the only righteousness that will make peace between you and God is the righteousness of his dear Son. And that is why his hand is still upon you, because you haven't come yet to Christ. You haven't yet looked to him, because perhaps you haven't yet come poor enough. You haven't yet been made sick enough, wounded enough. You haven't yet seen sufficiently deeply your ruined and lost condition. But let it rather be healed. It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Oh, what a peaceable fruit it is in a sinner's heart, when the chastening hand of God is stayed. Where was it that the chastening hand of God, that the angel of the Lord was commanded by God to stay his hand in that case when David's people were being afflicted because of his sin in numbering the people? It was at that thrashing floor where the temple was subsequently to be built in later years. And what did that temple set forth? Emmanuel, the blood, the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant. That's where the hand of God is satisfied. That's where God says it is enough. It is enough. When is it? When does God say it is enough? When his Son cried out, "It is finished." And in your chastening, child of God, he'll say it is enough. And you're brought by his Spirit to that blessed place to see your sins put away by the Lord's finished work. And it's the peaceable fruit of righteousness also in this sense, because that revelation of Christ, that ministry by the Spirit to your soul, sinner, of the finished work of Christ, it brings forth in you those fruits. They're peaceable. By faith, you're at one with God. You're in agreement with God. By that softening of your heart, oh, there is that coming together in the one place in the Mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is brought forth in your heart that love. You see, that love of Christ, that cures of that idolatry, doesn't it? And all this blessing, how that cures that covetousness you were chastened because of, and every other sin. It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. When, like Mary, you sit at the Lord's feet, she hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Well, may the Lord forgive what I've spoken wrongly and bless his own word and favour us to know these blessed things. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Pack is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Timothy Rosier next Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 872. Gold in the furnace tried, ne'er loses aught but dross, so is the Christian purified and bettered by the cross. 872.
forgive. Do bless thy word. Do keep us safe as we separate. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.